kids can be as huge as they want. Go to side school.
Cool.
Thanks, Julie. Make me cry.
That's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's the slowest I've seen the kids leave in a long time. Praise the Lord. I was looking for a title for today's sermon, and interestingly enough, I had about four or five different sermons that I came upon at one time here. But, Julie asked me the name of it, and I told her, "Somebody Loves You." And I think that's a really good... And the devotion today was really good, Paul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think we better start with a word of prayer, because the Lord's got someplace He's got to go with us today. I'm not sure where. I've been looking at this for several weeks, and let's see where He's going to go with this. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we humbly come before Your precious throne this morning. Father, we just have to take a few seconds just to stop. Let's just take a deep breath. Let's just know that You are God. You're in control of everything we do. You're in control of everything we say. You can be our God, our leader, our Savior. You are. Holy Spirit, we just have to allow Him to guide us. Father, we just ask for the leading of the Holy Spirit this morning. That Father, we just speak what needs to be spoken, say what needs to be said, and praise You in the way You so justly deserve. Father, we're looking forward to You show up. We're just wanting to hear what You have to say to us. We can apply it to our heart, apply it to our life. We live for You. Father, we praise You and love You. In Your precious name we pray. Amen. Somebody loves you. Did you ever feel like you weren't loved? Did you ever act like you shouldn't be loved? That's even a better question. Yeah, there's a lot of things that goes on. I was looking at some things that Jenny did a devotion several weeks ago, and priceless. Remember that priceless you talked about? And it just really hit me that in God's eyes, each and every one of you are priceless. He paid a price for you that you couldn't pay. No way, in any way, shape, or form, you could not pay that price. He paid it for you because He thought you were worth that much. That's pretty impressive. And I was just looking at things, and you know how you start looking through the Bible, and I'm going to start in Mark here, or Luke, I'm sorry. And I don't know if I gave Julie this scripture verse or not. I think I did. Luke 6, 17 and 19. Let's go to the book of Luke. I want to read you something here. We're going to get started on something. I want you to see something. Sometimes I think we get so busy with life that we fail to stop and look sometimes. And I don't know. Let's see where the Lord takes this. Luke chapter 6, verses 17. I want to read something to you here because I want you to get a picture, okay? I want you to get a picture. This is talking about when Jesus, the first four books of the Bible is the life and times of Jesus Christ, okay? It's the four Gospels. And Jesus is doing a lot of stuff. He's the guy's busy, okay? Because He's healing people and He's calming seas, and he's out going for... I wonder if they'd had Fitbits back then. You guys, anybody got a Fitbit? I don't have one of them things. I don't want to know how many steps I take in a day. Okay, I really don't want to know. But if Jesus would have had a Fitbit, He probably thought, you know, mine's not got enough steps on it. I think I'll just walk out across the sea tonight. You know, that's just things He did. He was just a busy guy. And He was doing a lot of stuff. So, in the midst of all this busyness, He's busy. I want to read you something here in Luke chapter 6, in verses... 17 through 19. It says, and I'm going to read from Amplified here, but Julie has it on some different verses. I'm trying, see this? I'm doing a little something different just for you guys. I got several books going on up here, several Bibles going up here. And because the Amplified just reads totally different than any other version. And I like it. And when you guys are reading from your version, I can follow right along and it doesn't bother me. But I guess sometimes people get bothered by that. So I'm going to read this out of Amplified just for you, Julie. Luke chapter says, and Jesus came down from them. And Jesus came down with them and took His stand on a level spot with a great crowd of His disciples and a vast throng of people from all over Judea, Jerusalem, and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon who came to listen to Him and to be cured from their diseases. That's why they came. even those who were disturbed and troubled with unclean spirits, and they were being healed. And all the multitude were seeking to touch him, for healing power was all the while going forth from him and curing them all. Wow. So, why did they come? They wanted to be healed, right? They had physical problems. They wanted to be healed. And it just says this, the power is going out of him. And I was looking at that. I thought it's pretty cool. And then I come across a story, and then it turned into two stories. And we're going to look at it. Back in Mark. It's in several of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke 10. But I want to look at Mark's version of it. Mark chapter 5. Let's go to Mark chapter 5. And I want to show you this. Mark chapter 5. There's some stuff going on here. Now, remember we said Jesus is busy, right? He's a busy guy. You know? Ain't you guys busy? Probably not. You guys have very little to do. Probably sit around all day, twiddling your thumbs, wondering what you're going to do next, don't you? No problem whatsoever. Life is smooth, right? Yeah. Well, Jesus here, he's doing a lot of stuff. He's calming seas. He's healing demon-possessed guys. If you read this, like boom, 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 boom. He's just, stuff is going on. It's just going on. And here in Mark chapter 5, he's just doing all this stuff. He's just healed a demon-possessed guy, okay? And so he comes back across the ocean or the sea here, and here he comes. And in Luke chapter, or Mark chapter 5, it says, so they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. Oh, I went too far, because we want to go to verse 21. Sorry, chapter 5, verse 21. I was going to read about the possessed guy, and that's a really cool story. Someday I'll probably preach on that because that's got a lot of stuff in too. Let's go to verse 21. I'm sorry. It says Jesus got into the boat again. He's just floating. He's boating everywhere. This guy is a jet setter. He's going all over the place. It says Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake. So he goes from one side of the lake, he's healing people, he goes to the other side of the lake, he's healing people, he's going to the other side. He's just driving all around. This guy's a busy guy. He's a busy guy. So he goes to the other side of the lake where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of a local synagogue whose name was Jairus arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him, my little daughter's dying. He said, please come and lay your hands on her, heal her so she can live. And that's the New Living Translation I read that out of. But a couple of things I want you to see here. He's in a boat, comes back to the boat. There's a huge crowd waiting for him. They're all wanting to see him. Why are they waiting on him? They want to get healed. They want to heal. You got something, people. We need healed. So he gets out of the boat, and this leader, Jairus by name. And I was looking at this, and the reason this came to me here, there's several things in this story. There's two people in this story. There's three, actually. Counting Jesus, there's four. I keep counting on my fingers. I don't want to take my shoes off. So you have Jesus here. He's coming back. There's a crowd of people. His disciples are with him. You've got a guy named Jairus. Jairus. If you can't pronounce a word in the Bible and you're up here, say it really fast. Nobody will know. Okay? I'm just a little thought for you. So Jairus, he's a leader of synagogue. We've got a woman who's no name. And we've got his daughter. Okay, we all knew these stories. We've read this before. I'm coming to the point where I read the Bible. I read the Bible at least twice a year through. Okay, twice a year, read the Bible through. That has nothing to do with studies. Read the Bible through twice a year. And that's nothing to say good about me or bad. I just read the Bible through twice a year because I want to just keep reading it. I want to keep reading it. And the more I read it, the more I study it, the more I look at it, it's like, wow, that's pretty impressive. There's some stuff in there. And then I start looking at, let's take a look at it. So we're talking about Jairus. Jairus is a synagogue official. We've got a guy here. See, I'm doing post-it note cards. Isn't that cool? They're pretty. I like the color. My grandkids don't have this color anymore because I took this color. Isn't that cool? No, I didn't. I wouldn't steal from them. But no, but they didn't want them, so I got them. They didn't like color. So Jairus is a synagogue official. He was responsible for the administrative details of the synagogue. This guy was really high up in the church, okay? He wasn't a priest, he wasn't that guy, but he was in charge of making sure things ran at the church, okay? He was in charge of determining who would pray and who'd read scriptures in the services. He set this all up. He's kind of an important guy, okay? He's allowed in the church, right? He probably lives at the church a lot, right, Julie? stays here a lot because there's a lot of things to coordinate and figure eight and all that stuff. Okay, so this was Jairus. Okay, and this is an important guy. And what's he do? He comes and falls down before Jesus. Why? He has a daughter. No name. He has a daughter that's sick. Some people believe she was already probably dead, just by the way this story reads. But she was really sick, and he said, you know what? I know this guy, Jesus, I mean, he's healing people. People are getting sick. I mean, he's healing these people. He's healing them. So he comes to Jesus and says, please come heal my daughter. And what's Jesus do? Well, no, dude, I'm kind of busy. I got a lot of stuff going on right now. You know, I just got off the boat, been working all night. You know, I could be tired. I could probably sleep a little bit. What's he do? It doesn't say what he does. He says, when he arrives, in verse 24, it says, Jesus went with him. Okay. Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. Verse 25. A woman in the crowd has suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. Wow. So we have this woman, no name, don't know who she is. She has an issue of blood. That's what it's called. If you go back to Leviticus, and I got the verse of Scripture there, and you can read it. Leviticus 15 goes through a detailed explanation of what makes you unceremonially clean. She was unceremonially clean. What does that mean to you? Unceremonially clean. She was not allowed to go to church. You got Jairus, he's in church every day. This woman was not allowed to be in church. Anything she touched was unceremoniously clean. She had no friends. She had no family. She had nobody. She had nothing. She could have, in this crowd, been taken out and stoned to death. Wow. You mean this woman could have been killed? Yeah. She could have been killed for even being in this crowd. She had suffered 12 years with this problem. This problem. So we got a guy that's in church all the time. We got a woman that's not even allowed to go there. She would be worse than a leper. They had leper colonies, okay? That's where people that had leprosy, they went so they could get a group of people, you know what I mean? They could live together, maybe. She had nobody. This woman was all alone. And the reason I look at that, we talked about being priceless, about you being worth something. This woman was worth nothing. Nothing. She couldn't work. She couldn't do anything. She was not allowed to be in society. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? You ever think about that? It's pretty heavy. Let's go on. And she had spent everything she owned. She had spent everything she had talking to physicians, doctors to get better. Got worse. So what do we got here? Verse 27. She had heard about Jesus. She heard about this guy who's roaming around the countryside, running around on boats, jet setting everywhere, that could actually heal people. Could actually heal people. And was healing people. And she knew that. We read there in Luke 6. They're trying to touch him because he's healing people. She heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. Jesus was kind of considered to be kind of wasn't a priest, prophet. It's hard to tell because depending on who you talk to, if you talk to the Pharisees and Sadducees, he was some kind of demon-possessed guy. You know what I mean? Depending on who you talk to. But he was kind of an important fella, right? Kind of important fella. And this woman who had been stoned to death for being in the crowd sneaks up through there and grabs a hold of his robe. Wow. Was she desperate? She was desperate, wasn't she? I think she was as desperate as Jairus was. She was desperate. She needed some healing. She needed something from Jesus that she knew that it was only He could give. Isn't that cool? So what happens here? She comes up behind him and for touch his robe from verse 28 says, For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I'll be healed. Now, the Greek word here for healed means of a physical bodily function problem, some kind of a physical difficulty. She said, you know what? If I can just touch him, if I can just touch him, I'm going to be healed. That's some pretty big faith, isn't it? Huh? I'm thinking to myself, okay, where else did she have to go? She had gotten to a point in her life there was nowhere else to go. She spent every dime she had, everything she owned, she spent because she wanted to get better. She got worse. And she came to that point where, like, in total desperation, they're going to kill me if they find me in this crowd. And I'm going to sneak up there and I'm going to touch his robe. Okay. We all know the story, right? So what happened? It says in verse 29, immediately the bleeding stopped and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. She knew she was healed. The moment she touched that robe, she was healed. She could feel it. She knew she was healed. Cool, huh? Cool. She's healed. Verse 30 say, Jesus realized at once that healing power, virtue, that's healing power, had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? Check this out. You ever been in a big crowd? You've all been. You know what I'm saying? Or just you got. You know what I'm saying? It's a big crowd. And this is one guy, and all these people are trying to get around him and bumping into him. He's probably fighting their way through. I can see the disciples. You know what I mean? They're working, trying to go to Jairus' house, having trouble because there's so many people keeping them doing it. And all of a sudden, and he says, stop. And it says Jesus, when he turned around, it's the same Greek word we use for when a person comes to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. They stop going that direction, and they go that direction. They do a 180. Jesus, he's a busy guy, remember? We talked about this guy. He's a jet setter. He's out there doing. He's getting. He's got it going. He's going. And he's going. And he stops. And he turns around. He stops. And I thought to myself, how many times have I been busy? Busy, 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 busy. Been driving down the road, come to this traffic light, and there's a guy standing there. Help, need food, have grandkids at the house, no electric. You ever see a guy like that? In Ontario last week, I seen a guy like that. Stay alongside the road. People, nobody stopped. I'm just stupid because I stopped. I'm just stupid because it's like the Lord's like, that guy needs help. This is the same situation. Those people, 90% of people in them cars were so busy they had a movie they had to go watch. They had reservations at a restaurant. Something they had to do. That's me. I had something I have to do. And there's this guy. He stopped. That's what Jesus did. He stopped. He was focused. He's going this direction with Jairus. And he turned around like this. And what's he say? Who touched me? Who touched me? And I see my cards. I've gotten ahead of my cards. Didn't do me a bit of good, did it? I like the way this is written out. It says, Jesus seems to be saying, I only ask who touched me in faith. Who touched me with love? Huh? Many jostled him, but this woman had really touched him in faith and love and wonder. She had touched him. She had faith to believe that he was who he said he was, right? She had faith to believe that if she touched that robe, she was healed. Huh? And Jesus stops, knowing all these people are bumping into him. How many people are getting healed bumping into him? Doesn't say. But this one woman who takes... she gets healed. Just a touch. Boom, she's healed. She knows she's healed. And he knows the powers went out of him. He stops and turns and says, who touched me in faith? Who touched me in love? Huh? Who touched me? What's his disciples say? His disciples in verse 31 says, look at this crowd, blessed. And you ask, who touched you? They're all touching. You're bouncing into you, beating you around. I mean, John, it's a mess. They kept on looking around to see who had done it. Now, why do you suppose he did that? I look at that sometimes and I wonder, you know, you ever been the object of everybody's scrutiny? You ever had that problem? Kenny, Jamie, you ever had that problem? Seem like everybody's looking right at you? Huh? praise the Lord for these ladies. I'm really proud of them. I, last week with nobody being here and Jamie and Jenny sang no music up here by themselves, and I thought, you know, the Lord really worked that, didn't he? Huh? He did. He worked that. And that's how he beat the being afraid of talking to people out of me. Just, you know, okay, well, if I'm going to look like an idiot, I'm just going to get up and look like an idiot. You know what I'm saying? And I look at that. And he asks, who touched me? He keeps looking around. Jesus keeps looking around to see who did it. Then, in verse 33, then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. She comes before, she's the obstacle of everybody's gaze now. She's first and foremost, right out front. Jesus, can you imagine him standing there? And she comes up saying, trembling, tells him exactly what happened. I had this problem and I was healed, and now I'm healed. I'm healed. Yeah. What's Jesus say to her? I want to look at this. I wrote this down because I thought this was kind of cool. Jesus did not call the woman out into the open to ridicule her, but to set her completely free. Huh? Think about it. This woman was a known outcast. She's not allowed to go anywhere. She's a known outcast, not allowed to go anywhere. And Jesus calls her right out in the middle of all of them so she can tell her story and they can know that she's healed. That's something. He's not ridiculing her. He's setting her free. All the places she couldn't go before, she can now. Cool? Huh? And what's he say to her? This is what really hit me this week. I've been studying this and look at this. What's he say to her? We don't know her name, right? This woman, we have no idea what her name is. It's a said. What does he say? Daughter? Daughter? You know, Jesus does not use this word, this name for daughter, any other woman in the Bible, in the New Testament. What's that mean? Huh? You know me by name Matt. My brothers call me Frank because it's one of my middle names. I got a lot of them. There's people that call me other names that I can't repeat, but I mean, I've been called a lot of things, but you know how it is. You know what I mean? So my brothers all call me Frank. Okay. My mother called me Paunch. Where did that come from? I have no idea. She called me Paunch. Whatever. That's what she always called me. You know, so if someone calls my house and says, can I talk to Mr. Maglut? They obviously don't know me. You know what I mean? But if somebody calls and says, hey, Frank, what you doing? I know it's got to be one of my brothers. Okay. And then there's terms that I'm not called honey very often. Maybe by the occasional waitress that says, honey, what can I do for you? You know what I mean? You got them, you the waitress say, hey, honey, how you doing? You know what I mean? Yesterday at the motel, this lady was doing the breakfast thing, and I said, I really appreciate you doing that. She goes, sweetie, she said, I just love doing this sort of thing. Just the sweetest lady, and I had a good conversation with her. But so people know you by your different names, right? Different things. This word for daughter, Patsy come in this morning, and she sat down with James and says, how you doing, darling? That's what this is. Says, sweetie, how are you doing? Jesus said to this woman, he didn't use, it was like an intimate relationship. It's like, how you doing, sweetie? That's what he said. He says, sweetie, your faith has made you well. Wow. Jesus, to say to this woman, he says, sweetheart, your faith has made you well. Huh? Your faith has made you well. What's he say? Go in peace. Your suffering is over. Huh? When you look at this in different wording, it almost implies, the Greek terminology and the verbiage implies that she not only got physical healing, she got salvation. She believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? And she's saved. And she's healed. And she's whole. And she's like, yes! Can you imagine the testimony she has? Doesn't say another word about her, does it? Nothing. We don't know her name. We don't know where she... We know nothing about this woman other than the fact that she had an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ at this moment. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? I got excited about that. I mean, you guys don't seem excited. I thought, that's impressive. He didn't care what her name was. She was a daughter. He didn't care. He loved her. She was it right then. She was his daughter. Darling. Cool? So he's on a mission. He's on a mission. Turns around. Got another mission. Takes time in a busy schedule to talk to this woman. Isn't that something? He takes time. Uh-oh. Verse 35. While he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. And they told him, your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling a teacher anymore. Your daughter's died. Can you imagine, Jairus? Why do we have to stop and talk to this woman if we just kept moving? You know what I mean? I think about that. As a dad, you need to think about stuff like that, you know? As a dad, as a parent, wouldn't you think about that? We'd have just kept moving if we could have just kept going. But Jesus overheard. And the Amplified in the Greek actually says, Jesus overheard it and he just ignored what they said. He just ignored it. He heard what they said, he ignored it. What's he tell Jairus? Don't be afraid. Just have faith. And I wrote this down because I wanted to tell you about this too, because I was looking at this. And believing in faith not here not means not only to believe, but to be persuaded of and placing your whole confidence. Jesus is telling Jairus, have confidence in me. Believe that I can. Just believe in me. Have faith in me and have your confidence in me. Doesn't say what Jairus says, does it? His daughter, they just had the news she's dead. That's pretty hard to take, isn't it? That'd be hard to take. Jesus says, don't be afraid. Have your faith. Have faith in me. Put your confidence in me. And verse 37 says, then Jesus stopped the crowd. Remember all these people trying to touch him? He stops them. He says, you guys stay right here. Just stop. He stops the crowd, and he wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter, James, and John, brother James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing. Someone had died. There's people here crying and weeping and wailing. The thing we don't know is in this tradition, when someone died, you could pay someone, you could pay people to come and wail that they were dead. You paid people. They didn't even know you. They were professional wailers. That's what they did. They got paid to weep over you, somebody dead. That's what they got paid for. And the reason I bring that up is because he says, there's big commotion. He went inside and asked, what is this commotion? What's all this stuff? Jesus says, what's all this stuff? The child isn't dead. She's asleep. She ain't dead. She's sleeping. He must have been. They didn't know that he was dead, right? She was dead. They knew she was dead. He says, she's not. She's just sleeping. And the crowd, verse 40, and the crowd laughed at him. Now, how could you go, how could you do that? I mean, if it was real weeping, if you were really weeping for someone that was dying, how could you go to laughing? You see what I'm saying? That's why I brought that up. So, the crowd laughs at him. They laugh at him. But he made them all leave. He's pretty good at putting people out right now. He puts the crowd out, makes them stay there. He only takes Peter, James, and John with him, and the mother and the dad. And then he's going to put all this mess out of the house. You guys are just bugging me. You're crying, whining. Get out of here. You know what I'm saying? So he puts them out. And he takes the father and mother and the three disciples in the room where the girl was lying. In verse 41. Holding her hand, he said to her, Talitha kumi, which means little girl, get up. Talitha is a feminine for child. She says, child. Remember what he called that woman? Daughter? He says, child, I command you to rise. Whoa. This girl's dead. You ever seen anybody do that? No, I never did either. Oh, this is pretty high tech stuff. He says, little girl, get up. She's dead. Little girl, get up. What happened? And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. Isn't that cool? Now think about this. How long had that woman had that issue of blood? 12 years. She had that issue of blood 12 years. That 12 years was probably the worst miserable 12 years of her life, wouldn't you say? She was an outcast. She was pushed away everything. We've got a little girl here who is, how old? 12 years. She's just a kid. She's probably had a good time. 12 years of, you know, playing and running and jumping and stuff. You know what I mean? Two people, 12 years. And I thought, what is the significance of 12? The number 12 signifies governmental perfection. This number symbolizes God's perfect, divine accomplishment actively manifested. Really? That's a lot of big words, isn't it? It means that the 12 years this woman suffered, the 12 years this girl, same amount of time, total different situations, they were both healed. One was dead. One might as well have been dead, right? Outcast. She had no friends, nothing. She might as well have been dead. God brought them both back from the dead. Isn't that cool? What's he say here? And I guess that should probably be me and you, probably. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Would you be... I was talking to a young man this week. He's come a long way. His purpose in life is to witness to people at job sites. It's his purpose in life. He's a crane operator. And he will actually make people turn away because he is so aggressive. He is so aggressive at saying, let me tell you something. He's got a million questions for me. A million. So what do you think about this? And we have conversations. It's like I can stand there for an hour talking to this guy, and I got work to do. But he's just that way, you know? And he's all the time wanting to know stuff. And I look at him, and I think, you know, he's kind of on fire for the Lord, isn't he? He turns some people away. He does. But you know what? He saves some people, too. He's come to the people, bring them to that realization where maybe they need Jesus. Maybe that's why. And people that know who he is and how he used to be, and wow, you've changed. And he is very open and outspoken about everything he does. He's just so outspoken. And it's like, I look at him sometimes like, and I told him, I said, you know, sometimes you just got to be careful what you say, because some people just don't want to hear it. You have to show them by your actions. You know what I'm saying? You do. And these people here, they were overwhelmed and totally amazed. And this totally amazed me. They were out of their head. He asked me, the reason I got off on that little tangent, he asked me, he said, if God says we got this power, how come we ain't doing this stuff? How come we ain't picking people up from the dead? How come we ain't doing all that stuff? He says, I want to be able to do that. I mean, I'm going to do it. And I'm like, dude, you just messed your own self up. He said, what do you mean? I said, you can't. You can't. There's nothing in you that's good enough to do that. I said, only Christ can do that. Only the power of God can do that. That's it. But I want to do it anyway. Well, more power to you, brother. I'll be praying for you. And I will. And he's serious. He's sincere in his action. He's sincere. But he says, I just don't understand. It seems like God's sometimes far away from me. And I'm like, dude, I think you need to just stop. I think you need to calm down and just... He says, I'm reading my Bible all the time, and sometimes it gets old, and I'm reading preachers, and he's just doing it. I said, dude, stop. I said, maybe you should just sit and read one verse and just wait and see what the Lord has. I can't sit that long. I gotta go. I'm like, dude, How can God talk to you? How can God use you if you're not letting Him talk to you? You're saying, God, I want to do this. God, I want to do that. God, He's telling God what He wants to do, right? Huh? I told him, I said, well, I'm looking forward to see how God uses you. And I really am. He's got a good heart. He really does. And he's really excited. But it's like, I think you got to get to the point where maybe I need to just... He's not married. I can kind of see why. I can kind of see. But you know what I'm saying? I'm thinking, I told him, I said, you know, it says the Bible says we can do more things. I said, yeah, it does. But I think, I said, you go to foreign countries. And I said, there's healings going on there. A lot. You come to the United States and what do we have? We don't have that many healings here. Why? Jesus said he went to his own country and what? He could do very little miracles because of unbelief. We got a Walmart down the street. We need God. Need some bread? I'll go get some bread. Right? Need a little something to eat? I'll go down to Walmart. They got all kind of. They got clothes. They got shoes. They got all kind of stuff at Walmart, right? They got, it's a one-stop shop, right? Huh? I see those people in that hurricane in the Bahamas, and there's literally almost nothing left. Those people lost just about everything they owned. Gone. They got no infrastructure, got no electric, got no clean water, nothing. And I ask myself, I wonder how I'd react in a situation like that. If the Lord just sent a hurricane through North Central Ohio and leveled everything. We talked about that in Sunday school. We're not built to live in this world. We're built for a little bit better place anyway. Yeah. We're only temporarily here. Very temporary. Now I get back on the subject here. And Jesus gives them strict orders to tell anyone, not to tell anyone what had happened. And then he told them to give her something to eat. Why do you suppose he told not to tell nobody? He does that a lot in Scripture. You ever notice that? He says, don't tell nobody. And they go, yeah, look what happened to me! You know what I mean? But he tells them not to tell anybody. I don't think he wanted her to be a public spectacle, her and her family. Can you imagine? My child was brought back from the dead by Jesus. Oh, I want to see you. I'm shrine for. We have a building. We have a thing. You know what I'm saying? You can imagine. You can imagine. That's a big thing. People want to see that. I think he was looking out for their well-being. And then he's looking out for the little girl's well-being. Give her something to eat. She's hungry. She's been sick. She died. Or hasn't eaten much. So why did I get the sermon title, Somebody Loves You? Because Jesus, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God of the universe, spoke the worlds into existence, wants to take time to be with you. Isn't that something? He will take time to be with you. Isn't that something? You are so precious to Him that He will stop going the direction He's going and turn around just to talk. Isn't that cool? When you sit down and look at your Word and you read your Bible and you're praying to the Lord and you almost feel His presence sometimes. You ever notice that? You feel His presence. He's there. He's God. He's got a lot of stuff going on, don't you think? I mean, He's got hurricanes going on in the ocean. He's got people praying to Him for saving them from all this stuff. You know what I'm saying? He's a busy guy. He's real busy. But He will take the time to talk to you. You just got to take time to talk to Him. Huh? In your busy schedule, you are created in God's image. Remember, in your busy schedule, don't forget to take a few moments and stop. And talk to Him. Because there's no problem you got today. No problem you'll have tomorrow. If we live long enough, no problem we'll have in 10 years from now. God cannot handle. That's all. Somebody loves you. That's all the Lord gave me today. I don't know. Hopefully that brought something to you. I had another sermon I was going to do, and I got part of it wrote down, and this was just, the Lord just really impressed this on me, that even though this woman did not Jesus did not know her name. I think he did. Nobody knows her name. He knew her. He knows you. He loves you. Don't ever forget that. He loves you. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, I humbly come before your precious throne this morning. I don't know said what I said was good, but Father, I have to rely on you. It was what you wanted said this morning. Father, you love. Somebody loves. You are the one that loves us. We just praise you. Father, we thank you for this time. We can look at your word and realize that you're busy. You got a lot going on. And we're busy. We got a lot going on. We have to take time to stop, to read the faces of people. We have to stop, take time to see the situation people are in. We have to stop and take time and know, Father, that other people have a lot on their plate too. Father, we may be the only person, we may be the only Jesus they get to see in action today or tomorrow or the next day. Father, I just pray that we would have the mind and the heart that we would stop long enough to see other people and the problems they have, just to be there for them, if nothing else, just to pray with them, if nothing else, to let them know that they are loved and they are loved by you. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Father, in your precious name we pray. Amen. As the praise team comes forward, the elders come forward, we do this every Sunday. This is the time for everyone to take a few minutes, maybe stop, take a breath, take a few minutes. If you feel like you need prayed for, if you feel like there's something in your life you want these gentlemen to talk about, to God about, with you,